If football is your passion, you're probably watching a lot of the preseason games. I love football, but I can't take watching preseason football. But nonetheless, I have to. And I've been watching the Dallas Cowboy-Miami game, which looks like an abomination here. They're ending the first quarter. Why is that guy kneeling on the ball with 3:55 left in the second quarter? That's preseason football for you. Anyway, DraftKings.com can figure the whole thing out for you, or maybe you can help them figure it out, man, by picking your teams, picking the team defense that you want to play, and going up against people you know, people you don't know, and head-to-head competitions, league games, all kinds of competitions there for all kinds of money at DraftKings.com. 1 week fantasy football, no season-long commitment, which is the best part. You just pick your teams as you play week in, week out. Play whenever you want with the players that you want. Renew old rivalries by challenging friends and family, private leagues, superior GM. Join an existing league. Go head-to-head with friends. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now to choose your players, and you could get serious cash in week one because they got a $5 million jackpot just in week one alone and up to $1 million awarded to a, well, I was going to say a lucky player.
Yeah, like a good player.
Yeah, like a very good player. So it's DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com. Choose your players and use this as your code if you want to play for free with your first deposit, Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E. Play for free with your first deposit. Use the code Hendry, H-E-N-D-R-I-E, and play for a share of that $5 million. Only at DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See the website for details. I'm Phil Hendry, and all of the voices and the people you hear interviewed on the show tonight, all of the people that you will hear calling in, all of the people that I'm talking to, they're all me.
And the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, this is Zach Wilde, and my understanding, this is this metal?
Yeah, it's a metal song called Sleeping Dogs with Corey Taylor.
All right, well, that doesn't mean anything to me.
This sounds almost soft rock, you know? Are you kidding me or something, soft rock?
Hey, let me tell you something, kid. It's, I'm telling you right now.
All right, back off. You could. Welcome to the show.
What do you mean, back off? You're always saying back off, but you never solve these problems.
You call that metal, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I call it metal. You know, metal is a lot of ballads. What are you talking about, man? Anyway,
for the sleeping, look at Phil, Mr. Rock and Roll.
I've been around it for long enough, so don't give me a hard time. World famous Phil Hendry Show. What, bud?
Well, name like a ballad that Kiss did.
Okay, Beth. All right, anyway,
Yeah, man, I've got you. I wasn't trying to kid with you anything.
Name a, who's Kiss? Just it's a band. I guess you could call them a metal band. They were the guys that dressed up with the paint on their face.
Oh, not that God. You mean the guy that spit the Jesus?
Oh, the man that spit up the blood.
Yes.
Oh, my God. You see that, General?
Yeah, there was a guy on that. He'd go, and then the blood would fly. Is that the guy?
Yes, Kiss. And they did a song called Beth. Okay, so is that, do I win the bet?
Oh, I wouldn't bet no money.
Good. Anyway, welcome to our program, folks. World famous Phil Hendry Show. That is Zach Wilde, and that is called Sleeping Dogs. And it does have Corey Taylor on it, but it's too, you know, it's too far into the song for us to hear. Welcome to the show.
Bam, sitting.
I was belching.
So we were, you know, figuring out. You were sitting there, sitting up straight. You sort of sit up straight, Phil, when you have to belch.
Why, what were you eating?
What difference does it make?
Yeah, I know what you were eating.
What was he eating?
He's eating it.
What are you talking about this for?
What was he eating?
He was eating them salted kettle chips.
Right.
Salted kettle chips? Are you out of your mind? That stuff is 85,000 calories. I thought you were trying to get some of the weight off.
I am, but it's been a very stressful couple of days, okay? It's been a stressful couple of weeks, if you don't mind.
Oh, so you're one of those people, you eat when you get nervous. Oh, you know, you're like Frank. Frank has accused me of that. And if you're listening, Frank, you know, because I love you and you're my husband, I'll put up with it. I'll put up with it for another day. But when you talk to me, Frank likes to come into the kitchen, slap me on my... Don't say it, bud, or you'll get hurt worse than any...
Don't threaten him.
He better not say it.
What?
Ass.
All right, take it easy.
Frank comes in and slaps me on my ass, and he goes, look at the fat ass, and then goes out to the car and leaves.
So you think that's romantic?
It's endearing, yes.
Wow, you kidding me or something?
You're putting me on. He doesn't do that.
What's wrong with that?
He comes into the kitchen. Are you? Oh.
Oh, my. So you're laughing? He's laughing.
Well, Margaret, it's not exactly. He walks in. You called it endearing.
We have a playful relationship, yes.
Now, what else does he say?
That's it.
So he gets out of bed, and he comes into the kitchen,
slaps you on the ass, get in the car, and leaves.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he takes a shower first.
No, are you listening to me? He gets out of bed, comes into the kitchen, slaps me on my ass, says, look at the big fat ass, kisses me goodbye, gets in the car, and leaves.
All right, I'm almost scared to ask this question.
What?
Is he wearing his pajamas?
Sometimes, yes. Phil, you have to understand, he works at the office. His office is his domain. All right, he's not in courtroom anymore.
He goes into his office in his underwear.
In his pajamas. What's so unusual about that?
Where is Frank's office?
It's down the street. It's on Ocean. You're right. I thought I was married to Harvey.
You're not married to Harvey.
It's on Ocean. It's right there in the in that beautiful office building there on Ocean, right near the pier.
All right, and no one sees him?
Phil, he gets out of the car, goes in his pajamas, works the entire day through.
Does he go to lunch?
Sometimes, yes. Oh, I see what you... Yes, he goes to lunch. Sometimes he'll go to Bowes, which is that steakhouse.
In his pajamas.
What is with you, anyway?
Well, you gotta understand, Miss Grace. Oh, my God.
You're telling us that he walks out of his office building in his pajamas, goes into a steakhouse, orders a steak, sits there...
Yes, and he has a dinner. Not a dinner, but he has a lunch meeting with colleagues.
Oh, he's having a lunch meeting with colleagues.
You two had better, you know, you better stop laughing.
Margaret, come on. You got to understand. A guy Frank's age in his pajamas, in his bare feet. Please don't tell me he's in his bare feet.
Yes, he may be. What is unusual about that? If you're in pajamas.
You don't see anything unusual.
Robert, don't yell at me.
Let me, Robert, do this. You don't find anything unusual about that behavior?
Of course I do, except for the fact that he is retired now. So when I say retired, he's semi-retired. He still works from the office. So that when he goes in his pajamas, who is he looking to impress? Who is he looking to make a big splash with? And he goes into these restaurants. People have known him for years.
And they know him to walk in his pajamas and bare feet.
You know what? All of you people can shove it right straight up your ass.
Margaret, you can't leave.
I'm taking a walk.
You know, Margaret, you're getting upset with the fact these are very normal questions.
Normal questions for other men, but for my husband, Frank, they're very insulting.
All right, so Frank Gray, attorney at law, goes out into the streets of Santa Monica in his bare feet in his pajamas, goes in...
You gotta understand, Ms. Gray.
I don't have to understand anything.
Understand?
Understand. There, is that good?
That kind of slurred it.
God.
All right, we're... okay, I guess we've...
Yeah, we got our last click out of her for a while. Well, today on the program, ladies and gentlemen, Phil is going to bring back a feature that's been very popular in the past. It's called The Way You Want to Hear Them. What's the name of it, Phil?
How You Like to Hear Them, or How We Like to Hear Them. And we are going to have on the...
Hold, I'll do it. It's called How You Like to Hear Them.
Yeah, that you found out.
Sorry.
Yeah. And today on How You Like to Hear Them, an interview with none other than presidential candidate Donald Trump. And the great thing about How You Like to Hear Them is we interview celebrities and big names in the news, and they cannot lie.
Yeah, in these interviews, the questions Mr. Henry asks, these people have got to tell the truth.
Right. So stay tuned for that. We'll have Donald Trump on our show here in just a moment.
All right, I want to get in on this.
Fine, Margaret, sit down.
But no more comments about Frank and his bare feet.
All right, fine. But you must understand that's weird.
Oh, I understand that, but not when a man goes into the office. He doesn't expect to see anyone.
Just he gets out of bed, slaps you on the... This is what you said.
Yes, yes, yes.
Slaps you on the ass, says, look at the big fat ass.
Oh, man, do you...
Take it easy, Phil. I'm not doing anything.
Yeah?
And gets into his car and drives off in his pajamas and bare feet.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, look at the smart-ass...
Hey, come on now. Just got away from her.
Won't be able to do it forever.
Margaret, what am I telling you about that stuff? You can't keep doing it. All right, let's check this out now, man. We got traffic out there on the highways and byways here with our good old... personal, a wonderful friend, Bob Bacon. Bob?
Hey, Phil, I got trouble with AP here. I'm right back. I got a 5 on the freeway here. If you're coming inbound from Loudon Buzzard and Lozen Hill, you can find this street. A lot of stuff in downtown trying to get to the crap the crap can down there that's jammed up till about 10 o'clock this morning. But coming down to the top of the mountain there, the king of the mountain, it's a bolt of lightning going through your skull and your front pattern. Okay, let's go to Skyboy.
Bob, I got the right right now. Oh, man, you tell your feeling. Are you going to find the feeling? Well, you're not going to do it today because yeah, he'll have soon, and there's going to be a monsoon there. Probably monkeys flying around. One monkey fly out of your ass. There's a boy, Sky Baby, and Sweet Tan. I think I'll go there. Okay, go there with that.
Monkeys flying out of your ass. Boy, Sky Baby, sweet hand. Get me a popcorn, too, will you?
From writer-director-comedian Mike Birbiglia and from Ira Glass, the creator of This American Life, comes the new comedy Don't Think Twice. It's a second collaboration between Mike and Ira following Mike's successful directorial debut with the film Sleepwalk With Me. I can only imagine, man. I gotta see that movie.
You were talking about how Mike Birbiglia had some interesting sleepwalk stories.
Yes, but I am definitely gonna see Don't Think Twice. That is the new one from Mike and Ira. By the way, Sleepwalk With Me was critically acclaimed, currently a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes. Don't Think Twice is a New York Times critics pick. Michael Phillips of the Chicago Tribune calls it one of the best movies of the year. Fandango raves it's a perfect movie about the cost of chasing dreams. EW calls it a love letter to improv. Dig that. And
what is improv?
Improvisational acting.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I love to watch great improv actors. And Mark Olson of the Los Angeles Times calls it unexpectedly moving. The Village Voice says it's the funniest comedy of the summer. Man, you got to go see it. Mike Birbiglia. It also starred. I actually worked with these guys. I worked with Mike Birbiglia and Keegan-Michael Key.
The rest of them?
No, just those cats. Gillian Jacobs is also in it. Go and see it. It is a powerful, powerful new funny movie from Mike Birbiglia called Don't Think Twice, now playing in theaters.
Where else is it going to play?
Play it like you could mime it on a street.
Yeah, thanks.
World-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California invites you to buy a backstage pass. The backstage pass, which is your access to over 20,000 hours of great audio, 20,000 hours of classic shows and podcasts. We also have the classic podcasts. We have the Philcast. We got more stuff. We're shaking more stuff at you than Grant took Richmond. The Phil Henry Show backstage pass. Get a month. Get a year. And if you get a year, you get the free Best of the Radio downloads. That's right, $150 value, all of our Best of the Radio downloads for free, and a $25 gift card from Amazon.com. We're paying you, man, to subscribe.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show backstage pass. Get a hold of it and write it.
Write it, man, write it.
Please tell me why you
live in it, son, live in it.
Please tell me why you always
Marco Pinions Chevrolet. I'm Marco. Marco Pinions Automotive, where we repair everything, and I mean everything you bring us, from the most exquisite and most sophisticated rocket sleds all the way on down to little roller skate and everything in between. Most of the stuff that we repair is cars. Hey, occasionally, a guy gonna bring me a land rocket. I did. Man, I'm laughing at the memory, because we turned the afterburners on in that land rocket right there in the garage. You know, I got about 400 square feet of garage space. That's not a lot, but certainly isn't enough when you have a land rocket. Man, it burned everything down. It burned it down.
Oh, it's a sad day.
Come on into Marco Pinion Automotive. Marco Pinion, we do all of the repairs, and we do them for you, not for someone next to you. We never mistake you for the wrong car, and we never mistake you for a car.
One time we did that, and it was drastic. It was really bad.
Yeah, we opened some guy up. You don't want to know the story. Marco Pinion Automotive, 2121 East Langersham, in the city of Gagbo-Bagadu-Dinlibukotanbada. That's a real place. In your dream. But in reality, it's Los Angeles. Marco Pinion Automotive.
Here we go. Listen to this. I like this song. All fucked up from Amity Affliction.
Amity Affliction.
I really don't appreciate this song at all.
Yes, dear.
How dare you mock my tone?
Margaret, just give it a rest, okay?
And it appears you
what's up your ass?
No, what is up your ass, man? Ever since we started the show, you're going on and on about Frank. You don't get it about Frank.
You guys are sitting here and you're trying to ride Frank for all it's worth. Now, what's the story?
Why are you kidding me, man? When you talk about a guy walking barefoot.
I don't want to hear any more about Frank walking barefoot in his pajamas, into the kitchen, slapping my ass, saying, look at the big fat ass, getting in his car and driving to work. It's perfectly normal behavior. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yay!
Shit. Yeah.
Man. Yeah, he sure is.
Now the world-famous Phil Henry Show presents, as you like to hear them, this, an interview segment where we interview some of the top celebrities and top newsmakers, and they have to tell the truth. Now here's Mr. Henry. Thank you very much, Robert. And today we are very, very honored to bring on the line none other than Donald Trump, who has just come out of a big, big rally in Texas, in Austin, Texas. The presidential candidate, Donald Trump, a Republican nominee for the presidency. A man who has drawn a lot of criticism, a man who's drawn a lot of affection and a lot of interest. A guy who's definitely shaken the political process up is on the air with us tonight here on How You Like to Hear Them. And Mr. Trump, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, as it sounds like the crowd is thinning out. You're not busy with autographs or anything?
No. I took care of that. And a lot of times I go into the crowd to sign autographs, but I only do it for a few minutes as long as there are cameras on me. If there's no cameras on me, I generally just tell them to bug off, you know.
You tell them to bug off?
I don't do it rudely, but I'll ask probably one of the guys, one of the Secret Service guys, and I'll say, you know, are there cameras? Well, no, they've all shut down. I'll say, okay, all you people just bug the hell off. And
all right, well, that's not very friendly.
No, it's not, but I don't need to be when the cameras are not on me. That's what I'm trying to say.
You're talking an awful lot, Mr. Trump, about
I'm talking to developmentally disabled.
Yeah, it sounds like you almost are.
Yeah, it sounds like your tongue froze up.
Well, my tongue froze up when I heard. Am I talking to?
Yeah, you're talking to. Everybody's going to be asking questions. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead. What's your name?
My name's Bud.
Go ahead, Bud.
Mine's Robert.
Yeah, Robert.
This kid's name was what?
My name's Bud.
All right.
Now I forgot.
Here, I'll ask. Mr. Trump, anyway, it's good to have you with us. We don't want to get into too many contentious questions here right off the bat, but as you know, you must answer our questions honestly.
Yeah, I understand that. Because he's going to beat this into the ground. There's a guy I'm talking to on the phone.
Sir, right here.
Okay.
The immigration policy that you stated early on in the campaign was that you were going to build a wall and you were going to deport 11 million people. Now it sounds like you have changed that. And you're saying now that you are going to deport the worst, the criminals.
What do you say criminal? The guys, if they're illegal, they're here criminally.
Well, that's true, General. If they're here illegal, they're here. When I say criminals, I mean the violent criminals. I mean the ones that are, you know, the ones that are dangerous, the murderers, these. We want to get rid of them.
All right, but you have backed off of the deportation of all 11 million. So can your hardcore fans who wanted you to deport all 11 million and certainly still do want you to build a wall, are they now in a place where they can have less confidence?
Probably, yeah. I would say that they are. Here's the thing. I don't want to say yes, they are, because I want them to vote for me. But to be honest, yeah, they probably should be concerned, because I want to win this race. And I have come to find since the convention that the public really doesn't like me unless I'm being absolutely clear and also, you know, really fomenting a lot of passionate feelings. But I got to be focused. And what I found out is that I'm sloppy. I'm a little bit stupid when it comes to the things I say. Now, I'm a proud man. To call myself stupid is very, very difficult.
Well, how does it feel?
It feels bad. It feels very bad. But I do. I act like a dumbass when I say some of the stuff that I say. So what I did is I hired this Kellyanne Conway. You seen her?
Kellyanne Conway. Yes, we've seen her.
Yeah.
All right. She used to work with Trump, and that makes her about as have as much integrity as me. But anyway.
Why do you say that?
Well, how do you go from working for a guy that I called Lion Ted and I thought was the scum of the earth? How do you go from working for that guy and defending him and then jumping on over and working for me? You know, it's...
Well, are you saying you don't respect your campaign manager?
Yeah, it's almost like you don't respect her.
No, wow.
But I got this.
I gotta ask a question. Do you respect her or not?
No, I don't respect her. Okay?
Oh, my God.
Well, so you're saying you don't respect her?
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Why?
Well, I can't respect anybody that used to work for someone that I insulted and that I put down on a daily basis, whose father I said was with Lee Harvey Oswald, whose wife I said was the hideous-looking thing. You know, with the guy with the meme, I said, boy, oh, boy, look at the kisser on that. That'd make a freight train take a dirt road, stop time all the way. That's what I said about the guy. And the woman that worked for him and was defending him and believed in him, and she jumps across the five lanes of freeway to come and work for me. So Kellyanne probably thinks I respect her, but no, no one would respect anyone who has so little in terms of integrity.
You mentioned she ran across five lanes of freeway. That's a very interesting metaphor.
Well, in other words, for her to work for Cruz than worked for me. She ran right across five lanes of very fast traffic, holding a baby, because that's how desperate she was to be attached to a winner. And while I'm happy to have her on board and say, okay, you're with me, but don't breathe on me, because I don't want to have her think that I'm friends with her or anything like that.
Do you have a? This is very interesting. So you don't have a very friendly relationship.
No, I don't. All right, let's move on to some. These are about personalities.
Yeah, I agree with you there. We're talking with Donald Trump here on As You Like to Hear Them. Let me ask you, Donald. Phil started. Are you flip flopping on the immigration?
Yes, I am.
And why are you doing that? Because you said you need to soften.
Well, I need to. People don't like the old Trump. I'm going to lose if I keep harping on the whole deport 11 million people, because it makes me look like a fat, stupid, greasy Nazi. And while in many ways I mean, it's hard for me to say this.
But you are like a greasy Nazi.
Yeah, a greasy Nazi. What is
a greasy Nazi?
Yeah, I am in a lot of. I'm fat and I wear my hair like an ass, and I've got those big stupid suits, and I've got a big ass, and everything about me should irritate any decent human being. And yet I'm getting all these votes. Well, I got to come through. And I'm finding that I can't get enough votes to win unless I change some of my opinions.
Yeah, but if you change your opinions, all of those people that like you with your fat ass and your orange hair...
Yeah, well, those people I don't respect. You know,
Yeah, I heard you saying something like that.
Yeah, you say you don't respect the people that support you. Well, I mean, get over that, will you?
I don't. Anybody that wants to vote, anybody that was on board with me early, I have no respect for. They're, as far as I'm concerned, they're pea brains. They're empty headed. You can lead them around with a ring through their nose. Jesus, man, might as well get the ring through their nose, tie them up to a damn corral, and just yeah, mule. That's what I'm seeing there. But
boy, you're getting all the cowboy on us there.
Well, I mean, you know, it's yeah, man, I'll tell you that.
All right, just easy. So you don't respect those early supporters, the ones that drove you to this success that you have today.
Well, they didn't drive me there. I mean, they were nice, but now I got to have the good ones. I got to have college-educated ones. I got to have more of these whites that, for whatever, you know, they like the blacks. And
there's a question I want to ask you. Your relationship with African-American voters, many people do not buy it that you are reaching out to black voters. A lot of people think you're pandering. A lot of people don't even think you know what it is you're trying to say. Do you think your message is going to resonate?
No, of course I don't think it's going to. I'm stupid enough to think that it will, but I can understand if you were to say to me that it isn't.
Well, but you think it will.
I mean, that's how dumb I am. Yeah, I think it will, but...
Why don't you deep down think it will?
Well, deep down I think that I sound like a real lame ass. You know, walking down the street and get shot. Yeah, that's kind of redundant. And the whole what have you got to lose thing makes sound like every black person in America is a loser. Vote for Trump. It's just a bad message. And, you know.
Well, it sounds like you don't. You don't understand black people.
Now, let me ask you something here.
What do you mean I don't? Do you, Mr. Henry?
No, but I mean, I mean, yes, I do. I understand people, and I think I understand how...
Hold on for a minute. Let me ask you this. That guy, the disabled guy, you know, when you made fun of that guy, what's the story with that?
Oh, that's a good question, yeah.
I made fun of the disabled guy because I was never socialized properly as a kid. No one ever slapped me and told me, don't do that. My father and mother never told me, don't make fun of those that are weaker than you. My father and mother never really set limits. They liked the fact that I was a loud, sloppy, offensive brat that ran from table to table in restaurants and was never constrained. I'm sure you understand.
Yeah, see, like what a lot of those kids I want to beat up and everything.
What? This guy, whoever this guy is.
Wait. What were you saying, bud?
You're like a lot of those kids that run around. I like to kick their ass in a restaurant.
All right, well, yeah, that was me. My father and mother never set limits on me, so I could say anything I wanted, and they all laughed. Now, you'll notice in that clip where I say, and I'm pretending like I'm retarded or whatever's wrong with that guy.
Yeah.
And I keep repeating the punchline, I don't understand, I don't remember. No one was laughing, so I kept repeating it, waiting for the laughs. Because what I didn't understand from my youth was that most kids laughed when I acted offensively like that, because we always had the money and the ice cream, and they wanted to laugh to make sure more ice cream got at the table. But now those people that were at that rally didn't laugh because they were...
Because they were offended, right?
I guess they didn't think it was funny.
So would you do it again?
Well, to the extent that I'm, at least I'm smart enough to know I blew it there, yeah, I probably wouldn't, but I'd probably do something equally stupid and messed up.
Now, anything messed up that you were gonna do that someone stopped you from doing?
There was a fat girl in one of my rallies, and I said, let's get the fat one out of there. No offense. She was a fat, and she was Mexican. Excuse me, I shouldn't say Mexican.
Yeah, Hispanic is the word.
All right, I get it. Hispanic Americans. By the way, when everybody made fun of me because I had the taco bowl.
Holy crap, that taco bowl, man.
You didn't understand about the taco bowl, did you?
No, and I still don't.
When you sit there and you go, hey, man, you know, I love Hispanic Americans. I love Hispanics. It's like you're reading a cue card that was written by the lamest ass on Beaver Cleaver Street. And there you are.
What are you talking about?
And then there you are with the taco bowl made at the Trump Grill. I mean, nothing could be less Hispanic.
Well, how do you know, man? Maybe a Hispanic guy made it.
Did he?
No, but he could have. So, I want to defend myself a little bit.
Well, you're not doing a good job, Trump. Just, you know, back it way off, all right? You don't want to piss me off.
Sorry. So anyway, I was never socialized properly, and so all the dumb things I say.
So you, nobody ever set limits. No one ever told you don't say that. No one ever said to you, Donald, that is a very offensive thing. None of that.
No, none of it. All my parents wanted to see was me to make a lot of money, push people around, shove my way to the top, and anybody behind me, I'd let one go, just a good ripper right through my very expensive slacks. And let them just, breathe those fumes in.
Oh, what an absolute obnoxious ass you are.
Thank you.
All right, Donald, we got to go now.
But I'm not done talking yet.
Well, you're going to have to shut up because we're leaving and we don't want to talk to you anymore.
Oh, man, I've...
Never had anybody talk to you that way, huh?
No.
Well, don't cry, man. Hey, by the way, when you changed those views on immigration, and Kellyanne Conway told you to do it, didn't she?
She's not going to tell me what to do, man. You know.
She didn't tell you?
She suggested it, and I realized that my ass was getting pounded in the polls. I said, okay. You know.
So are you going to deport 11 million people?
Am I going to deport 11 million? I'm not even going to get elected president, Phil. So.
No, but if you get elected president?
If I get elected president, I'm not going to deport 11 million. No. No, no way. Because they'll want to impeach me. There's no way.
But you're going to keep saying you're going to.
Of course.
Are you going to build the wall?
No.
Well, why not? That's the one you said. You said you're going to build a wall.
I'm not building a wall because we can't afford it. We can't afford it! You understand that my plan is going to put another $10 trillion on the debt? Nobody asks about that. I talk about Clinton and I talk about Obama. My plan will put another $10 trillion on the debt, and then the wall itself is another $25 billion boondoggle. Hell no, I'm going to not build the wall, not because I don't want to. Congress won't let me. You understand? Let me.
Well, they won't fund it.
Yeah, bingo. And
well, what about the force of your personality talking them into it?
How do you like this? I'm taught. Never mind. I won't say anything. But
so you don't think you have the personality to do it?
Fuck no. And I can tell.
All right, Donald Trump.
Yeah, he said the F.
Well, you could have dumped it.
No, I could have done a lot of things, but I'm all done. Thank you, Donald Trump, as you like to hear him on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show, as you like to hear them on the Phil Henry Show.
No kidding.
Yeah? He'll be right back.
Burgies, Suits, and More, corner of 15th and Olive in downtown Clusterville. Burgies, Suits, and More, corner of 15th and Olive in downtown Clusterville. Burgies, suits, hats, clothes, jockstraps, everything for the back-to-schooler. Burgies, Suits, and More, small little knickerbocker pants. We've got those Buster Browns, we've got the high knee socks, and those little Spanky and Argang caps. Burgies, Suits, and More, 1531 Clover Street in downtown Clusterfuck. Think you changed the city and the address? None of your business. Burgies, downtown. Come to Burgies for your back-to-school needs. Those little race car caps with the knee socks and those goofy-looking knickerbockers. Wear the riding pants with a stripe down the side. You look like a member of the Wehrmacht. Send your little kid to school looking like a member of the Wehrmacht. Send a 5-year-old to school looking exactly like a member of the SS. Burgies, old World War II German uniforms and more. We've got them in 5, 6, 7, and 8-year-old sizes. Dress your kid just like a Gestapo member. Send him off to school. Listen for the laughs. Listen for the compliments.
You look like a member of Hitler's staff.
Burgies, suits and more. Did I tell you we had great ideas?
That's how they do it where we from.
The world famous Phil Henry Show. Oh, yeah. Hit it, sister.
All right, that's, who was that anyway?
What's
up? Missy Elliott, man.
Missy Elliott, all right. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. We've got other news here besides this garbage. Thank you very much, Donald Trump.
Well, now, that was as you like to hear Donald Trump. And I was going to tell you, so basically, he admitted to being a dumbass.
Yeah, dude, he's a dumbass. And he didn't know what a Mexican was, all kinds of stuff.
Well, that wasn't the case.
That's kind of what it sounded like. There's a second grade teacher that has made the news, and people are digging on this woman for probably all the right reasons. She is a second grade teacher in Texas, and she introduced a new controversial homework policy. She's not giving the kids any homework. She said there will be no formally assigned homework this year. Her name is Brandy Young. She wrote this in a letter, adding that the only work her students will be required to do at home will be whatever they don't finish during class time. She said in this letter to parents, she said, research has been unable to prove that homework improves student performance. Rather, I ask that you spend your evenings doing things that are proven to correlate with student success. Eat dinner as a family, read together, play outside, and get your child to bed early. Man, that's,
isn't that refreshing?
I'm going to get to Clara Bingham. Clara's a longtime educator, and she joins us from Joyful Union Congregation in Bellflower, California, where the evening service there with Pastor Rennick has just gotten out. Clara, you saw this article?
I had just the opportunity, Phil, to see it. I did not have an opportunity to read it extensively, but I know the...
You know the essence of it?
Yes, I know primarily the essence of it.
Well, what she's saying, this teacher, Brandy Young, I think that's her name, yes, she's saying... That
I know what she's saying. I heard what she said. She said you're not going to have any homework.
Yes, but she's saying that there are more
productive things.
Excuse me, Clara, but you're butting in.
I know the article, Margaret. I don't need you to sit and give me a whole gas bag.
A gas bag, and I've been a great admirer of yours.
Well, that's what you say.
Why be contentious?
I'm not being contentious, honey. You're just repeating the article.
All right, so did you read the article?
Yes, I did, Phil, but not all the way.
Well, that's why I'm giving you some of the background.
No, you're repeating the parts that I already read.
Well, what parts didn't you read?
I don't know. I didn't read them.
Well, what?
Margaret, just give it a rest, okay?
Margaret, relax.
Jesus.
I'm very sorry, but I've got a problem. I can't take it when people say things to me. I already know. Like, the pastor come in the morning, he'll say, guess what? It's going to be 75 degrees today. And I'll go, man, why'd you do that? You know, why'd you do that?
Yeah, like by saying stuff you know.
No, I can't stand it. And so, like, Pastor Rennick this morning, he said to me, it looks like it's going to be 80 degrees today. Make sure you dress cool. And I said to him, are you out of your... I said... God, look, I know that already, man. I know that. And he's polishing up an apple, looking at me like I just come up out of a crypt, like I'm one of the walking dead, and I'm about to chow down. Man. Hey, you talk about Pastor Rennick is here.
All right, but let's, because we talked to Pastor Rennick already this week. I want to get back to this teacher.
But you know the teacher's policy.
Yes, Margaret, I do.
I'm talking about Phil Henry.
I'm on the air with Phil Henry right now.
I'm going to say hi. Hey, Phil.
Pastor Rennick, how are you?
I'm very good, very good. I don't want to interrupt. I know that Clara and all of you are having a conversation about whatever it is you're talking about. I just want to say have a beautiful day. And
well, thank you.
And hold on. Have a beautiful day, and don't forget to smile to everyone you see.
I am.
And I have to get the phone again.
I got the phone, Phil. He's clowning.
You know, it's going to be 80 degrees today.
I know that. He was clowning, Phil. I'm sorry.
Well, that's... All right, so getting back to this article, you don't agree with this teacher.
I don't agree with her at all, no. And I'll tell you why. I think it's one of those newfangled and unproven, untested theories. I believe that homework keeps the child's mind on the studies at all times. If you want a child to get the lesson and you want that child to know that lesson... You've got to keep the child's head in that lesson. It's almost as if you have created a fog of information around the head of a child. And you keep that fog of information around that child's head so the head never gets clear of it, you know?
Talk about the head, though. Talk about a real head or
What are you? Boy, I'm coming through the phone.
Wait. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about keeping the child's head, figuratively speaking, immersed.
All right, so you're saying, figuratively speaking, keeping the kid's head immersed in the information.
Yes.
That he learned at the school.
That is exactly right, General.
All right, now, hold on. There's a piece of literature that I saw that you and Pastor Rennick were developing, what you call the knowledge helmet. Is that right?
No, it's called the knowledge knob.
The knowledge knob?
Yeah, we call the helmet, it looked like a knob, to the knowledge knob, because the helmet looks like the gear shift, the knob on a gear shift. And inside the knowledge knob are all kinds of what you call virtual reality. And you can look and see all kinds of quotes and mathematics and everything. It's almost like that Superman capsule that he was in when he was coming to Earth. And he was laying there, he's a little fat baby, and he's getting all this information pumped into his little tiny head. And by the time he landed on Earth, the kid was like a genius. He is smarter than anyone. He's smarter than Einstein. He's smarter than, what's that other guy, the one Isaac Newton? All in.
So you think you've got this kind of, I didn't know we were going to be talking to you about some sort of wild contraption.
It's not a wild contraption. It's an idea that you put the knowledge knob on the head. Now the kid turns into a gear shift knob, and all the information inside that knob.
But that's called a helmet, though.
Yeah, it's in a helmet. All of that is getting transmitted, and you can see it right there on the screen in front of you.
So what has this got to do with homework?
Well, put the knowledge knob on a kid's head and send him home. His head's got to stay inside that thing.
Let me ask you something. Hold on. I want to know something about the technology. This is on a virtual reality screen inside the helmet.
The knob.
Inside the knob. And the child is seeing what?
He's seeing quotations. He's seeing history lessons. He's seeing mathematical problems from the day. And you pump it in there. It's just right there on that screen.
And you don't give the kid a break? He's just...
You put that knob... What do you mean give him a break? You got a kid... Mr. Henry, this world of ours is going in the wrong direction. We have got so many problems. I want to keep that kid's head stuck in knowledge. Otherwise, that kid, he ain't going to make it. You've got to have the kid immersed in that information. Put his head in that knob and it doesn't come out until the next morning.
Then the next morning he's in school.
Yeah, and that's right. He starts all over again.
Well, it looks to me like this is a complete opposite... of what this teacher is saying. She's saying, give that child a chance to interact.
Oh, the child, get child to interact.
All right, let's take a phone call here. Our number is 111. What is that number, bud?
I've got to transcribe it.
11111. Okay, 111.
What does that mean, 111?
That's the number. Give us a call here, world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're talking to Clara Bingham, who is with the Joyful Union Congregation Middle School. Let's go over now to Justin. Justin, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Henry, hi. I'm very interested in what Ms. Bingham has been saying. First of all, I want to say I admire what our teachers do, you know, and I hope they continue doing it.
What grade are you in?
Well, I'm a senior in high school.
You're a senior in high school, all right.
But my question is, when you talk about the knob...
All right, that's a crank call, bud.
No kidding.
Yeah, no kidding. Don't smart-ass it.
I'm sorry.
Phil, that's probably my fault. I should have recognized that boy. I said, well, that's a high school student. I knew he was going to screw with us. So my apologies.
All right, our number, 11111, whatever the hell the number is.
1111.
I don't, you know.
That's as far as I know, that's the number.
How could we get a phone call on 11111?
I don't know, Mr. That's something weird. Maybe they've routed it weird or something.
They could have some kind of a routing situation.
Look, Pastor Rennick is on the line with us. Pastor Rennick joining us. Pastor, how you doing?
Yeah, I want to talk to my wife about, you're talking about the knowledge knob. That was going to be something that was copyrighted, and we were going to apply for the copyright together. Now you have leaked the information out on the knob. Man, that's not cool.
Pastor Rennick, first of all, this is a conversation we would best have in the privacy of our home and not here on the radio. The knowledge knob is, I believe, our only real chance of getting our kids packed with information in the quickest possible way.
I know all of that, but I told you I didn't want the knob. I didn't want information on the knob released.
And would you stop calling it the knob? Because I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to turn it into something dirty.
I'm not what? I'm not turning it into nothing dirty.
So you guys have talked about this before.
Oh yeah. Well yeah.
And I told her, I said, I don't want the knob. You say knob one more time, I will come to the phone, beat your ass, and then head on back and conclude that interview. Knob. Fucking. Ah, yeah, yeah. How'd that feel? Ah. Oh, man. I feel I'm back. The knob, as he likes to call it, the knowledge knob, does not have a it doesn't have a copyright on it yet, but it will.
Can I ask, Pastor Rennick, you okay?
What happened there?
Oh, he's fine.
Pastor Rennick. All right, sir, you okay? Do you need an ambulance?
Lie. He doesn't need an ambulance. He's screwing around.
Lie.
Pastor Rennick, nobody's going to buy that. All right. Look, why would you have the knob?
Get him out of here, will you?
Yeah, hang up on you, Pastor. Yeah, the knob. Yeah, knob you later.
All right, Claire, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and I will repeat. The knowledge knob is not owned by any one individual. The knowledge knob is owned by myself and Pastor Rennick, and it was only with agreement between the two of us that information will be shared.
All right, we've gone far afield of this, talking about homework, and you're talking about the knowledge knob, or what the pastor calls the knob, which is a helmet full of information that a kid puts on and wears until he comes back to school the next day.
That is correct, yes.
Now, I got to ask you, what do you figure the price on this would be?
Well, it would have to be very expensive, I think. I don't know, but I don't see it retailing for much less than, say, a couple of $1,000s. You know.
Well, how the hell? The average family's not going to be able to go out and get the knob as you. Jesus.
They're talking about get the knob.
I'll tell you now, if you say knob, I'll go home and destroy all the ones that we have.
All right, we're sorry. Okay?
I'll destroy them all.
Get Pastor Rennick.
Pastor Rennick.
Tell him to destroy the knob! Don't you go near the knob!
Pastor Rennick, I will not go near the knob. You know what? I'll come near your knob. And oh my God!
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
And this is like the fourth morning in a row now that we've had to listen to this vulgarity and do-do-do-dee.
What vulgarity?
Talking about the knob and having people hung up on.
Versace. Hold on. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and this song, Versace, the guy that wrote this and the guy that greenlit the recording of this, both of them should be in prison because the song blows hard. I'm General Galen Shaw.
Versace. Yeah, it is pretty stupid.
I'm Margaret Gray, and I'd like to tell you about something that I'm very, very excited about. It's the Margaret Gray Songbook, and for the second year in a row, we're coming out with some of the great hits, the great songs, the great, wonderful solo singing sensations that you and your friends can have lively times with at a local or at a family party. Songs such as Singing the Sunshine. Songs such as Singing the Mung... Not the Mungshine, but the Sun...
Singing the Sunshine!
We'll sing in the sunshine. We'll sing in the sunshine. We'll laugh every day. Yes, with its wink and a nod toward lesbianism, We'll Sing in the Sunshine is one of the great classics. And how about this one? Oh, the wayward wind is a restless wind. That's right. Gogie Grant couldn't have gone any more gaily.
Yeah.
And how about this one? A great one. Oh, this is a song I've never known before. It's called Easy Living. This is a song I've never known before. It's called Easy Living. I'm Margaret Gray. I hope you'll join me for my songbook, the Margaret Gray Songbook. Liven up any picnic. Liven up any barnyard dance with the Margaret Gray Songbook.
Available now in textile colors and in sheen.
That's Charlie Sheen to you.
The Margaret Gray Songbook. Pick it up at your local Cosby's retail stores.
Mission two bitches, they kissing my diamonds, is pissing my swag is exquisite. I said no preacher, but you nigga listen. Them blue and white diamond, they look like the piston. Cold and sipping Versace, I'm pumping them bands in my pocket. You know they don't let me. I'm
dressed up. Yeah, but he tried to kill me with that thing.
Yeah, that Versace song blows her a ton, man.
Well, what do you say that for?
I don't know. All those songs about brands and shit like that. Tom Ford song by
Dad Jay-Z.
Now, what do you like about him, sir? Just what is the point? What is that about? You know, get out of here. All right.
Well, maybe it's because you can't afford that stuff and they can. Because those cats, you know what they say. All my rich N-words to the left, all my broke N-words to the right.
That's your...
Come on. All right. Yeah, thank you. Dr. Jim Sandler is going to join us now, folks, for a heads up on these summer months and what you should be doing to keep yourself healthy. Because, you know, as you enjoy the summer, and gosh knows you should, as you're out there recreating, do you know that the word recreate, General, recreate?
Oh, yeah, that's, I never knew that.
I did. And you know, General, I did.
He's talking to me.
I did. So there's no point in you two going off to the side like a couple of...
Yeah, you're going to say blow, buddy.
Maybe. Thank you very much for that, Margaret.
I did.
All right, what do you know about recreate?
Well, recreation or recreation, as you very adequately put it, Phil, it means you're doing just that. You're recreating. You're bringing forth new materials, whether they be psychic, psychological, physical. You're bringing forth a new, refreshed person. And that, of course, is why we recreate or recreate. Or... We,
Come here, go. You think it's like a new...
Your mouth...
Come on. Man, you took a wild swing on him.
Hey, who do you think you're going to hit with that?
Don't worry. I take a wide enough arc with that fist. Oh, man, it'll hit something. And if it... What it doesn't hit, it warns.
Okay, folks. Dr. Jim Sadler, who is at the Sadler...
what are you laughing about?
None of your business, man. That's what I'm laughing about. Dr. Jim Sadler, who's at the Sadler Research Center in San Diego, California. And Dr. Sadler, happy to have you with us. I hope you're enjoying your week there in San Diego.
Right now, Phil, yeah, I'm enjoying it immensely, and thank you for having me on your program.
Dr. Sadler, what do you mean right now?
Well, we had a little bit of a problem here. We had some school kids came running in from a... There had been an accident on a football field and a bus crash, and I thought we were going to have a multitude of injured children, and I had gotten the emergency room at the hospital ready. I said we would triage who we could here because the accident took place right in front of us.
What the hell? You tell you, were their children hurt or not?
Well, what happened? I saw the bus pull up. It had a... I couldn't see the driver. And when I looked a little closer, I saw it was a small driver, and it was a 10-year-old kid. And he was going about, I'm telling you, Phil, he was doing about 60 right around the corner here, right in front of the bay. And then he pulled up here at the stoplight, opened the door, and all these kids come pouring out. Now, I'm thinking, all right, we've had a hostage situation, or we've had something where the children are being threatened, and they're running. And a few of them fell down. And then I saw the kid that was driving leap out of the bus, and I saw the bus roll backwards right into the bay. And
what are you talking about?
You want me to go through it again? Because I didn't like seeing it the first time.
Well, no, that's not...
I'm just saying, it's crazy.
Yeah, so the bus, did they get the bus?
Well, yeah, it went into the bay, only part of it. Cops came and pulled it out. I'm thinking, I got all these kids, I go, what's going on? And they go, we were just playing the kidnapping game. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, in the Dirty Harry. So the one kid was the Zodiac killer, and then the other kids, they ran out of the bus. So I said, are you trying to tell me that this is all a gag? And they said, yeah. You know, and they go, where are the suckers and where's the candy canes? And I said, where'd you get that idea? They said, this is a doctor's office, isn't it? I said, yeah. They said, well, make with the candy canes. So I gave them the candy canes. I was stunned.
Well, why would you do that? Those children obviously need to be disciplined or reprimanded.
Well, I was stunned. I was passing out candy canes. My nurse said I was sitting there with my mouth hanging open. I was just, And I'm handing out candy canes, sitting there in a doctor's smock, looking like the biggest asshole.
Come on now, Dr. Sadler.
I'm sorry, Phil, but it's unbelievable.
Well, it's not that terrible. I mean...
It made me look like an ass.
Well, here you are on my show talking about it.
I was going to be on your show talking about keeping yourself healthy for the summer months.
You're trying to... So let me just recap, okay?
I'm not trying to tell you anything, General. I'm telling it, okay?
Yes, sir. I understand. What I just want to know, the bus comes tearing around the corner with a 10-year-old kid driving.
It looked like a little man. But I got up close and I said, excuse my language. I said, holy Christ, that's a kid. The bus door opens, the kid comes running out, all the other kids come flying out after him, They're chasing him. They're falling down. All kinds of stuff. What the hell happened? Nobody put the brake on the bus, so it rolls back into Coronado Bay. And I'm like, what the hell? And they all go, ha, we were playing hijack game. And I sat down. I collapsed back onto the chair with my mouth hanging open, handing out candy canes. The nurse told me I just had the bucket of candy canes, and I was just staring straight ahead going, like that, you know?
You were doing what?
I had my mouth hanging open.
Is your nurse there?
Harry, well, do you want to talk to her?
Yeah, I would feel...
Harry, it's Phil Hendry on his show. Phil Hendry on the show. On his show. He's got a podcast.
Hello?
Hi, Terry. It's Phil Hendry.
Yeah.
Can you tell me what happened?
Well, doctor, Sadler was here, and we were taking our first appointments, and he went outside because he heard a car come around the corner, and... he came back in and said, get ready for triage and make sure the hospital's alerted. I think we have some emergency cases.
I got a candy cane.
Right here, Doc.
Is Dr. Sadler all right?
I think he's going to be okay. We're not sure right now. But he's going to be all right. He's a little stunned.
I got a candy cane.
I'm giving him candy canes. There you go. So the doctor came in and said, we better get ready to triage some of these kids. And I said, right away, doctor, because... we know not to question. We just get ready. But then at some point, I said, well, what's happened? He says, I think there's been a hijacking or a kidnapping or something by one of the students. And I said, not an adult. He said, I thought it was a small man. It turns out it's probably a 10-year-old boy. And then the bus went in the bay. And I said, well, the first thing we have to find out is, are there people on it?
Absolutely. That would be the first thought. Are there children still on the bus?
Right. So the police came and they looked. No, there wasn't any. And that's when the children said, ha, 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 we're playing hijack. And Dr. Sadler started to give out the candy canes. And that's when I got really angry. And we had a broom closet. I went, I found a broom. And I began just swinging it wildly, chasing the kids out of the office.
You're trying to hit the kids?
Not really, but I was trying to chase them out of the office. And I just took this broom like I was chasing mice. And I said to them, get out, all of you, get out. And don't ever darken my towels again. Some kind of a gag like that.
So where are the kids now?
We don't know. They scattered out into the neighborhood.
I have.
All right. Here's Dr. Sadler.
Thank you very much, Terry.
Mm. Yeah, what Terry did is she took the broom and chased them out, and they scattered into the neighboring neighborhoods.
Are you telling me that these children that have to be home for dinner have parents that are probably sick with worry, are scattered out there in San Diego somewhere?
Well, they're out here in the neighborhood around my office. I mean, the parents are here, and they're going up and down the streets with bullhorns. Just, like I just heard Roscoe Tannen, right?
Yeah.
Roscoe Tannen, it's your daddy, it's your mommy, Roscoe Tannen.
That's the kid's name, huh?
Yeah, Phil, I mean, oh my God, he wants to quibble about the kid's name. How about that?
No, I just, never mind, okay?
Well, there was another name we heard. Was it Billy? Bobby Joseph? Yeah.
Bobby Joseph.
This is the San Diego police. Your mother and father here. Where are you?
Well, are they finding these children?
Yes, are they coming out from hiding?
A couple of them. Well, you'll see a manhole cover lift up, and one or two will come out. Then they'll go down the street, and then you'll see a kid leave an alley and run across the street like they're trying to stay away from them.
What is going on with these kids? That's very serious.
Well, I don't know. I think it's a game of some kind. I'm not sure. Here's Terry again.
We think it's probably a game of some kind. We're not, but we think it's, you know.
A game? Wow. Just wow. So, and Dr. Sadler was going to talk to us about healthy summertime living.
Yeah. You still want to talk about that?
Let me have. Phil, I'm in no mood. The way I feel right now is I have such a bad feeling about the human race. I hope everyone just...
Hey, look, I don't blame you, Sadler. After going through what you went through...
I hope the whole human race just...
Yeah, Dr. Sadler's going to go.
All right, Terry, I appreciate you helping us.
You're welcome.
I mean,
what was that about?
You know what, if he's gagging...
I'll call him back. Yeah, Terry? What are you trying to pull anyway? Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong number. Yeah, okay. Popeyes? Do you have a big bucket? Get it! Give me that. Is this Terry?
Popeyes.
Oh, Popeyes. Sorry. Call him back.
Yeah, Terry. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Mom.
What are you doing, man?
What did you call, Dickman?
They called us!
All right, find out what the callback number is.
It's not. It's blocked.
Blocked. I'm going to kill you, man. I swear.
Phil! Huh, Phil? Hey, what are you doing?
Kick your ass, man, for pulling that shit like that.
Wasn't you talking to him or not? I didn't know anything about it.
Damn, Mr. Sam, we didn't know. Thought we were talking to him.
What was the number that you called?
The one right here.
Popeye's Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
I don't know, Phil.
Give me that.
What is this, Popeye's?
Yeah, how you doing? General Galen Shaw. What's it look like? Yeah? Let me ask you a question. Were you guys just on the Phil Henry Show? Because we heard it was really funny. Who, me? Oh, no, that's another General Galen Shaw. What? Hello? Hello?
What were you trying to do?
Trying to figure out if somebody at Popeye's Fried Chicken was pulling some kind of a game. Trying to run some game on you.
You know what I think? I think that Dr. Sadler's running the game. I think he's in there, he's doing his thing, and whoever that Terry was is probably... Oh, man.
Well, it could be a woman doing a man's impression.
You know, Margaret, that's really way out there, man. Real way out there.
Give me the phone. Hi, this is Margaret Gray. Hello? She hung up.
Was it a she?
Yeah, I think that was Terry.
All right. Dr. Sadler, if you're listening, I'll never have you on my show again.
Phil, you can't...
No, hey. I'll never have you on my show again, Dr. Sadler, until you come on here and you explain what it was you were trying to do. Okay? Thank you.
And what if he doesn't care?
Well, if he doesn't... you know what? I'm going to kick your...
Hey! His ass.
Phil.
What if he doesn't care? If he doesn't care, then he doesn't care, all right? Oh, if I hear this
Sorry.
World-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California has been executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved. I'm General Galen Shaw. Come at me.
Yay! Popeye.
Yeah, hi, it's Phil Henry. We're not on the air anymore. Is this Terry?
Yeah.
So what were you doing?
We're just playing around.
Are you actually Dr. Sadler's nurse?
No, I work at Popeye.
And where's Dr. Sadler?
Oh, he was here getting a bucket.
He was here getting a... He's there?
Dr. Sadler?
Yeah, Phil, what's up? Okay, can I ask you? We're not on the air. What were you doing, man?
Getting a bucket of chicken.
Well, what the fuck are you trying to pull, man?
Doing a couple of jokes.
I thought you had a busload of kids in your office.
You love this guy. So, what the fuck is it? Blow it out your ass.
Hey!
What's this song you're playing?
Nobody gets no heaven no more.
Yeah, I know that, but this isn't the usual song that you play.
Yeah, we're playing a different one. What about it?
Hey, put the other one on.
Fuck you.
Oh, man.
Nobody gets too much heaven no more. What you are to me. Blah, de blah, blah. Nobody gets too much heaven no more. It's much harder to come by and harder to climb. And probably got that wrong.